Welcome to the Halftime Show podcast here on Anchor. I'm Kamari Darrington. You can also listen to this podcast on Google and on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find the Halftime Show. Been a couple months that since we've done our last show. Of course, we've gone through a terrific football season, and now we're getting ready to get into basketball. But before we do that, as we end the year of 2019, getting ready for a new decade, we're going to talk about the potential of the next North Carolina A&T, which is going to be the next program to have a dominant run as North Carolina A&T has had over the past five seasons. So that'll be the topic today. But before we get there, we're going to get back into our first segment, which is Hitting the Field. Well, as we wrap up the football season, some big news all across the landscape, including Fort Valley State hiring a new head football coach. Maurice Flowers takes over for Kevin Porter, who spent the last four seasons at Fort Valley State. Flowers brings 20 years of coaching experience to the table at Fayetteville State, Miles College, Mississippi Valley State, and at Shaw. And of course, at Fayetteville State, he helped lead Fayetteville State to the CIAA South Championship in 2017, and of course last season. He also helped Miles win the 2015 SIAC Championship as offensive coordinator. He began his college career at Johnson C. Smith in 2010, and he, of course, defeated Miles College in the 2011 Pioneer Bowl. I hope they bring that Pioneer Bowl back, by the way. But Maurice Flowers, obviously a longtime coach, a great coach, and will definitely, as the SIAC continues to turn over its coaches, here's one of the hires at Fort Valley State. Fort Valley State last season had a pretty good season, but once again was denied a chance at playing for the East Championship, so they decided to go in a different direction. One of the biggest news coming out after the Celebration Bowl is Alcorn State quarterback Noah Johnson entering the transfer portal. The redshirt senior suffered a season-ending injury, and of course Felix Harper took over for him and had a terrific year, was the SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. So Noah Johnson decided to go elsewhere. In 2018, he completed 63% of his passes, 1,944 yards, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And, of course, he rushed for 7 touchdowns and 800 yards and finished second in the SWAC in total offense. So this is this is one of the biggest stories out of HBCU football coming in this month as Johnson enters the portal. Be interesting to see if he stays in the SWAC or if he goes to another conference or if he goes to another team. But this is probably going to be one of the most sought-after players in the upcoming transfer class because a lot of teams need quarterbacks. Obviously, Noah Johnson certainly will be up there as one of the best. And on the basketball court, North Carolina A&T men's basketball coach Jay Joyner suspended indefinitely, but no information as to why he's been suspended. He's in his fourth season at A&T, a 50-72 record. Willie Jones will serve as acting head coach. Could be a number of reasons why, but Joyner right now, not the coach right now at A&T. He's been suspended. So we'll see how the Aggies deal with that. They're 3-10. They were 3-10 coming into the month. Our top performance, well, really going back to earlier this month, Livingstone guard Roger Ray. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He is the all-time leading scorer at Livingstone College, and he came up with another big performance on December the 5th against Virginia State. I just watched this game the other day, and he had 45 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and a 128-122 double overtime win. Really a fantastic game. If you have not seen it, go back to the CIAA Sports Network and watch it because it is a fantastic game. Livingstone, I think it was Carpenter. I think it's Cameron Carpenter hit a game-tying three at the end of the first overtime when it looked like Virginia State had gotten the win, and then Livingstone really took care of business in the second overtime. But Roger Ray, 45 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. He's had a 55-point game this year, which I believe was the Livingstone single-game record. But this, of course, just happened a few weeks ago. So we selected that as the top performance for this episode. Coming up, we're going to talk about the potential candidates, the potential contenders of being the next North Carolina A&T. Then I'll tell you the team that is actually going to be the next AMT. That's coming up next on the Halftime Show podcast. Welcome back to the Halftime Show podcast. This is Kamari Darrington. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, listen to the Halftime Show. Well, this week, probably the final football episode that we have up until, of course, National Signing Day is coming up in February. They have the early signing period already in December, but coming up in February is the big day of National Signing Day. And of course, we'll be heavy into basketball here these next few weeks. So we'll dive into basketball a little bit more as the season goes along, and kind of preview what's going on and review the previous week in basketball. That's kind of how we're going to do the podcast over these next few weeks. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about one group in particular, the North Carolina A&T Aggies. They won the third consecutive Celebration Bowl last season. They 64-44 win over Alcorn State in what some people would view as the HBCU National Championship. I don't know if I'm one of those people. I'm not sold on it as it being that just yet, but certainly North Carolina A&T has proven over the last five seasons that they are, if not the most dominant program in HBCU football, certainly up there as one of the dominant programs in HBCU football. So really want to take a look at who is going to be that next program, which is going to be the next program to be that dominant program that's always going to be voted number one in the poll, that's always going to be or somewhere near the top of the poll every year, that's going to continue to win conference division championships and or playoff games, depending on if you're in Division Two, which of these teams is going to be the next team to step up. And by the end, I'll let you know which team I believe is going to be the team that takes the next step. Now for North Carolina A&T, they were voted number one in the Box 2 Road Final Poll. I'm a member of that poll. And so they win the national championship there. Florida A&M, which beat North Carolina A&T in October, has claimed the national championship. Of course, a self-imposed ban will not allow them to be officially considered MEAC champions, and of course not being able to go to the Celebration Bowl. Although if it had been that way, they would have been the team to go to the Celebration Bowl to play against Alcorn State. And I do believe that Florida A&M would have defeated Alcorn State as well. So have to look at which are the programs that are right there ready to take that step that North Carolina A&T has. Not necessarily within the entire landscape of HBCU football, but just not just from a national perspective, but just from the conference itself, that's the team, the first team you think of when you think of that conference is the teams that I hope that I'm about to name. And I think that a few of these teams, I think, have the opportunity to maybe not surpass North Carolina A&T, but certainly have a type of run that North Carolina A&T is currently on. So we're going to the CIAA and the SIAC, the Division II conferences first. I'm going to do the SWAC and then the MEAC. And then I'll tell you at the end which one I think will be most likely to do it. Now, the CIAA, the team that I believe could be a potential North Carolina A&T is Bowie State. The Bulldogs have won back-to-back CIAA titles. They won the CIAA championship this year, finishing 11-1. They finished the regular season undefeated, the only team in HBCU football to have an undefeated regular season. Of course, the only loss was the playoff game. I believe they played Lenoir. They didn't play Lenoir, Ryan. They played somebody else. I think they played Wingate. I'll have to look that back up. Miles College played Lenoir, Ryan. But Bowie State lost their first round game. They played at home, but they could not get the win. But they won the toughest division in Division II football. If you look at the SIAC West and East, you look at the West, it's basically a two-team race, Tuskegee, Miles College. If you look at the SIAC East, it's Albany State, Fort Valley State. That's pretty much it. Here, and well, Savannah State this year, I think Savannah, it'll be a three-team race next year with Savannah State. But Bowie State won the toughest conference. CIAA North probably had better teams even than Fayetteville State, which won the CIAA South and could very well have won the CIAA championship, but I think Bowie State has a great opportunity to have that type of run. They've got a great quarterback now in Jerome Johnson. The coach has been there for a long time, and I think that stability as a program is a big deal. Even though, you know, Rob Broadway has just finished his second season there, Sam Washington has finished his, I believe, his third season there after Rob Broadway was there. Now you're looking at a team that continues to build, and I think Bowie State is on that level. Out of the CIAA, I think it's Miles College, and I mean, and one of the main reasons I think it's Miles College is because of the structure that they've got right there. And they're going to have a new quarterback next year, but I think the way that this offense is predicated and the way that they defend, I think this could be a very, very solid club next year. And when you look at what they've done the past two seasons, they won back-to-back SWAC titles for the first time since Tuskegee did it at the end of the OO decade, 2007 to 2009. Of course, they lost to Lenoir and Ryan in the first round of the playoffs. But when you look at this Miles College football team, the Miles College program, Reginald Ruffin is the head coach, and they put a lot of more resources into the athletic program over the last 9 years that he's been there. I think this will be his 10th season next year. And he's already won 4 SIAC division titles. He's won 4 SIAC championships, 5 division titles. The only thing he has not done at Miles is win a playoff game. And for the SIAC, they're the first SIAC team to make the D2 playoffs since Tuskegee did it in 2016 in a 4-year run. So I think Miles College is definitely a team that could be at least as dominant in the SIAC as any other team. And I could have put Savannah State here as well because of the season they had last year, but I think Miles College, just because of what they've done, they would be in that discussion. Now, out of the SWAC, and, you know, I think many people probably think it's either Southern or Grambling, but I got to go with Alcorn State because this is the team that has represented the SWAC in 4 of the 5 Celebration Bowls. The only team to do that was Grambling, but they've been to the Celebration Bowl now 3 straight years. They've lost to North Carolina A&T, and they won their first back-to-back SWAC title since 2014-2015. This is the second straight year they've been in the Celebration Bowl. They lost. Third year they've been in the Celebration Bowl, they've lost. All 3 times they've lost have been to North Carolina A&T. They have won 4 of the last 6 SWAC championships, and they finished 9-4 this year. They won the SWAC championship, and they have been just dominant in the East. They've won 6. They've won 6 consecutive Eastern Division championships. I think they'll be favored to win it again. And with Felix Harper now as the quarterback, I think they're going to continue to get better. Frank McNair has done a marvelous job as the coach there. Of course, the brothers of Steve and Aaron McNair, God rest his soul. But obviously, Fred McNair, what he's done in Alcorn State, I don't think you can deny how he has dominated his opponents in the East. I think his last loss against the East was to Alabama State, I think in 2018. But this is a guy that could get this program, continue to keep this program on a roll. I think the biggest difference with Alcorn State, though, they've got to beat Southern. They've got to beat, you know, the teams out of the West. They've struggled in that department over the last few years. But if they can start to win those games against the Southerns of the world, I think they can take that step. And I could have put Southern there as well in the spot for the SWAC. Now, the fourth and final team is out of the MEAC, and I got to go with Florida A&M because, first of all, Willie Simmons is going to start his third season. Once Florida A&M gets off of probation, it'll allow them to really recruit the way they want to. And even when you think about what they did this, what they've done the last 2 years, they've beaten North Carolina A&T each of the last 2 seasons. This year, in October, they beat them 34-31 overtime in a game that really had to stand alone. They had to move it to Sunday because of weather. And so everyone got to see this game. If you looked at it online, I watched it online. And Florida A&M looks like they are ready for kind of a resurgence in the MEAC. And really think about it, Willie Simmons coming over from Prairie View A&M, I don't think people realized how good of a coach Willie Simmons really was. He took a Prairie View A&M program that was kind of getting some momentum and really pushed it into being one of the up and coming programs in the SWAC, and he's doing the same thing at Florida A&M. They beat pretty much other than Bethune-Cookman, they beat the other contenders out of the MEAC. They beat South Carolina State, they beat North Carolina A&T, and I think for the most part, if you were looking at the teams that had the best season other than North Carolina A&T, it would be Florida A&M. So I think that the Rattlers are primed to overtake North Carolina A&T and have the same type of dominance that we've seen Florida A&M have, that same type of dominance in the past, but I think with Willie Simmons, they will be able to do so. But let's just face it, right? Until someone knocks off North Carolina A&T on a consistent basis, more than likely, North Carolina A&T is going to stay at the top. But I will say, next season in the MEAC is going to be very interesting. I think Florida A&M is going to go in as the favorite. I don't think North Carolina A&T is going to be voted as the favorite next season. I might be wrong, but I think Florida A&M will have an edge going into the season. It'll be interesting to see. And of course, you have those other teams too. South Carolina State, Bethune-Cookman had a very good year. You can even look at a team like Norfolk State. They had some games where, you know, if you have something turned here or there, they could end up winning. So the MEAC is a strong conference, certainly stronger than the SWAC right now. I think they've proven that. They're 3-1 in the Celebration Bowl. I think they're 10-4 in that SWAC MEAC challenge. So right now, the MEAC certainly is the best conference in HBCU football, but they're gonna have some really, really good teams next year that are gonna be vying for those spots. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you my top five games from the 2019 season. And I think you might disagree with some of them, but we'll have fun with that. That's coming up next on the Halftime Show podcast.
Great job. Awesome podcast.
All right, time for the final song. Halftime Show here. Anchor, of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Kamari Darrington back here with you. And now I'm going to tell you what I believe are the top five games of the 2019 football season. They are in order, especially the number one. But if you want to just mix them around, that's just fine. At number five, I called this game personally for Flow Sports in the SIAC. Morehouse 40, Clark Atlanta 39. Two teams that didn't have really anything to play for. Morehouse and Clark Atlanta, of course, were both eliminated from Eastern Division play long before this game came along. But just two teams that went back and forth. It was a great game. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. And it was really one of those games that could have gone either way. The only thing that happened at the end of the game was a legal substitution penalty that cost Clark Atlanta a chance to get the ball back with less than a minute left. Morehouse ran the clock out and ended up winning the game 40-39. Just a great way to end the season for me in my second season of calling SIAC football. Number four, I'm going to pick the SWAC matchup as Alcorn State defeated Prairie View A&M 45-41. This was the beginning of the Felix Harper era as Noah Johnson suffered his injury during this game. Felix Harper came in there, really showed out, had, I believe, 288 yards passing, had more yards rushing, but ended up getting the game-winning touchdown late in the game to secure the victory for the Braves as they defeated Prairie View, and that pretty much knocked Prairie View out of the race in the west of the SWAC. But Alcorn State, again, showing their mettle against a Western Division team in the SWAC, I think that was very important. Coming in at number three for me, Virginia State knocking off Virginia Union 27-24. It's one of the great rivalries in HBCU football and a great game in the CIAA. Virginia State with a field goal in overtime, getting the win over Virginia Union, and allowed Virginia State to put themselves in position to win the North, and a great game there in the state of Virginia. Number two game of the year is the Magic City Classic. Alabama A&M defeating Alabama State 43-41 in triple overtime. This was the game in October. Both teams had chances to win. Alabama State had a 17-7 lead. Alabama A&M was able to tie the game. It was sent into overtime. And last, Alabama A&M was able to pull out a great, great win for them and pretty much knocked Alabama State out of the SWAC East race and gave Alabama A&M a shot at the SWAC title. And then the number one game of the year, and I think a lot of people probably agree with this, will be Florida A&M over North Carolina A&T 34-31. This game featured a dust up at halftime. Very intense game. Of course, A&T trying to get revenge over A&M after they beat them last season. And this time around, Florida A&M in overtime getting the game winning touchdown. I don't think it was overtime. I think it was the it wasn't overtime. Getting the game winning touchdown. The backup quarterback comes in. He throws in a touchdown pass. And really put, I think, really put Florida A&M back on the map. This was a huge win for this program. You know, the win in 2018 was really a surprise to everybody. I don't know if this one is much a surprise as it was last year. And it allows Florida A&M to at least claim a spot claim a spot as the national champion. So those are the top five games from the 2019 season. That's going to do it for this edition of the Halftime Show Podcast. Thank you for listening. Of course, you can listen, go back and listen to the other shows we've had on anchor.fm. Also, you can go to Apple and Google Podcasts to relive all the episodes of the Halftime Show. We'll start our college basketball reviews next week. We'll really focus, I think, on the SWAC and trying to figure out which teams will make their way to Birmingham for the SWAC Championship. And which teams, of course, will win the SWAC championship. Also review what else has been going on in the basketball world as things get tight now as we head towards January and headed towards February. Would really things get tight down the stretch. So thank you for joining us on the Halftime Show Podcast. Kamari Darrington saying so long. Listen to you next time right here on the Halftime Show Podcast.